of his light. And turn it down now, because I'll get loud. We have some special guests in the house. Kind of rock stars, you'd say. If I had a trumpet, I would have sounded it when they walked in. And they look a little tanner, a little happier, a little more rested, a little younger, actually. Doc and Debbie, stand up, be recognized. They have been gone for a long time. So glad I have them. They have been living the dream. RVing in Florida. Sun and palm trees. Living the dream. I'm fighting a very evil spirit now. It's called jealousy. So please pray for me. Kind of like Don a couple weeks ago. You know, we think Don works so hard because he's always up here talking about, I had to travel and I'm so tired and pray for me. Well, you know, he sent me a picture about 2 weeks ago, 7:30 in the morning. I'm up getting the kids, you know, taking the kids to school. I get a picture from a text from Don. So it's a beautiful pool, palm trees. He says, I'm at work this morning. He was in Orlando, Florida. Tough being you, Don. Tough being you. Yeah, I agree with that. It's tougher being you. The power of his life. We'll talk about this morning. We'll start in John, as you can see. John chapter 1, if you can find that. And let's talk about what I want to speak on this morning. We know what light does. Most of us do. We should know what it does. Light illuminates darkness. Light overpowers darkness. If you're in a dark room at night, trying to get up to go to the restroom or go get a drink of water or whatever, you know, you're stumbling around and tripping and you can't see stuff. Darkness keeps you bound in your vision. You can't see clearly in darkness. But when the light comes on, everything becomes visible. Everything becomes clear. You can see things as they're supposed to be. We live in a world where God has shown his light to all mankind. We are all born under the same sun. We all go to sleep under the same moon. We all dip our toes in the same seas, and we all climb the same mountains. All of creation was made for all of mankind to see there is light in the world. That there's more than us that live here, and it's more than our works and ability that keep us going. We can't create ourselves. We can't create other people. It is God alone that creates. And that light's been shown. Now, many people reject that light, and they shun that light, and they say, no, I don't need that light. You know what light does? It brings truth into your lives. It brings revelation into your lives. Kind of like things that we used to believe and now we know better then because we grew up and the light was shining. And I can't believe I used to believe that and now I don't because revelation came. Well, Jesus came that all man would see clearly which way to go. He says, I am the light. He pointed clearly, follow me and you shall have what you need. Just follow me. Think about if you're lost in the woods, pitch black. You're in a campsite. You've lost. You've lost your way. It's pitch dark. Trees are blowing. You're getting to see all those scary images, you know, in the dark, everything looks scary. You know, if you're in your room at night, even if you're an adult, and I know some of y'all ain't going to amen me on this, but you are. You wake up sometimes afraid. You're like, what's that? Tammy, what's that on the wall? Oh, never mind. Just the lamp that was blowing me. You know, we see things in the dark, and sometimes they can still be scary because they form things that aren't really there. And our imagination goes wild, doesn't it, in the dark? Goes wild. Flipping through this TV and saw this game show, and I watched, it's called Total Blackout. You ever seen that? And they're in this dark room, and they have to touch stuff, they don't know what it is, or step in something, and they can't see what it is, and their imagination goes wild. It could be something as simple as little squeezy balls, but they think it's, you know, their mind, they think it's, you know, maggots, I don't know, something squishy or whatever, worms, but it's just squeeze balls. But their mind goes wild. See, in the darkness, that's what the enemy does. As long as he's got you in darkness, he gives you wrong imaginations, wrong thoughts, and wrong visions. And you don't clearly see the truth God's trying to tell you and God's trying to show you. See, the Bible's clear there's only one way to salvation. That is through Jesus. There's no other way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. By no other means can man be saved. By no other name can man be saved. But through that one name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's no other way. The light shines that. But people reject that, and they're trying so hard to get around that truth and find a different way. Let's read the scriptures in John 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's clear to us. We're Christians. How do we convince those that don't believe that verse? How do we teach them? Because they want to bring up science. They want to bring up, you know, evolution. And I believe in science, and I believe in evolution. God created it. God evolved it. God made it. God spoke it. All goes back to the authority and power of a living God. He spoke us into creation, and we became born. He spoke the seas to war upon the land, and they begin to flow. He put the mountains there and said, stay. And they've stayed ever since. We went to take Christian yesterday to an open house at Western Carolina University. Have you never been there? Don't go. No, it's okay. It is in the middle of nowhere. And it's 155 miles from here, 2.5 hour drive. And there's nothing around. I mean, hardly very little around. And we're going through there, and Christian brings up, she says, wow, Dad, look at all these mountains. God made those. So he sure did. Those huge mountains God made, that we look over that parkway and see the ridges and all those beautiful, God made it. Man can't make that. See, God is clearly showing his light to mankind. Do that. Then he makes the oceans. Do that. And then put all these funny creations in there, and all these funny looking fish. Do that. Create a dolphin that talks and you can swim with. Do that. You know, create an eel that when he touches you, you electrocute like a taser of a cop. Little eel. Do that. Make a big fat animal with one big eye. Has it got one eye or two? And 8 long arms. How many eyes it got? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of something else, I guess. 2 eyes. 8 long arms. With suction cups. I mean, man, it'll hold your picture on the wall. We're talking suction cups that grab you and suck you and they can slither up like this and then spread out like that. Do that, God says. All of this stuff that he creates. Think how funny God is. He creates a whale, the great whale, right? The great, what's the biggest one? The white whale? That's a shark, great white shark. Anyway, the big whale. Huh? Is that what it is? The big whale. Thank you. Appreciate that. The big whale. Here's this big whale God makes, okay? Huge. I guess the biggest animal on the earth. Thank you. Even she knows that. The biggest animal on the earth. And what does it eat? Little tiny, right? Don't eat like sharks or meat things. It eats all this little vegetation, little stuff. He makes this big whale, but he can't eat nothing with any substance. Kind of funny, isn't it? All the creation that we see, and God's saying, do that. Make that. Make that sun stand there 93 mean miles away and burn, and the bulb never goes out. I can't go a month in my house without changing a light bulb, can y'all? Here, the bulb has never failed to shine. Science say it's bursting gases. Of course it is. It's what God did to create the light and the heat we need for life. Every time we see that sun rise, God is saying, here I am, the light shining on all creation, showing myself in all my glory. And when it sets and we see that beautiful sunset every night, it's never the same. The canvas looks different every single night. It's painted different. The shades are different. The cloud formation is different. I've never seen 2 sunsets the same ever in my life. They're always different. God showing who he was. I'm the light. Then you have children or grandchildren. You see that precious gift. Look at little Maverick being born. How this doesn't happen accidentally. God continually showing everything was made. I made it. And I'm the light. And if you would just follow me, you'll walk into what you need. I've got what you need. I have what you need. I am what you need. Next verse. Verse 4. In him was life. Talking about in the Lord was life. And the life was the light of men. Jesus' life became the light for men. A light always shines to show us the way. What is a lighthouse purpose? To show the ships in darkness the way to shore. Why do we leave a carport light on or a front porch light on for our kids coming home at night? So they can clearly see how to get inside the house. A light shines for direction purposes, to show us which way to go and how to do it. Nobody likes being in darkness. I don't care who, if you're not scared of the dark, most of us don't like being in darkness. We like the light because the light illuminates and it makes us, it's been proven on cloudy days, our moods are different than sunny days. That's a fact. When it's rainy and cloudy, you don't feel as good. Not physically, you just don't feel as good. You go, you wake up, you're just dragging, yawning, and you just ain't in the mood, and you just, I'm going to go exercise. I don't want to exercise today. It's cloudy. I just don't want to. And you just, what do you want for lunch? I'm going to pig out because I'm depressed. Why depressed? I don't know. It's cloudy. I mean, we just have those, it just makes you feel different. But man, when that sun's out, Christian yesterday come back down from the mountain, was like a golden retriever. Had the window down and head out the window. I love this weather. Don't it feel good? Yeah, it feels good. Get back in here for that semi. Take your head off. Get back in the window, Christian. We, you know, springtime brings a new excitement, don't it? Mowing the grass and the smell of pine needles and the daisies and the dogwoods begin to bloom again. And, oh, the beach opens back up. Isn't it great? We love this time of year. Spring does something to us. But when it's dark, you know the one thing I hate about the time change in the winter is the short days at night. Dark at 5 o'clock. Isn't that depressing? You go to work, it's dark. You come home, it's dark. You lived a day of darkness. I mean, really? I hate it. I love the long day. I remember years ago, we were sitting on the porch with my dad, and we were out there. I was a little boy, you know, and we was on the porch one night, and he looked at me and said, "This is the longest day of the year right here." And we sat out till it got dark. It's like, I don't know, 9:05, 9:07, whatever, that longest day of the year. And dad stayed up for that moment, and then he went in and went to bed. But we stayed up for the longest day of the year. I remember that as a kid. Love the long days when it's 7 or 8 o'clock, still daylight, you can still do stuff. We don't like darkness. And God showed himself through his light to point us to the right way. Now, some people I get frustrated with because they'll tell me, "Preacher, I don't," you know, some people reject the light because they don't want to accept Jesus because they say God's unjust, God's wrong. You know, why does God send people to hell? It's not fair. I didn't commit Adam's sin. It doesn't make sense. I'm paying the price. It doesn't make sense. I'm in punishment. I don't appreciate a God that would do that. But here's the revelation of this. He made a way and a cure for our sickness. Think about if all of a sudden tomorrow it came out that there was a liquid vial to cure cancer. People would sell all they had to buy it. And they would go to extreme ends to get it if they knew that taking that little vial would cure them. There's been a remedy made for our sin. It doesn't matter if we think it's fair or not. Thank God he made a way out. Thank God he gave us a rescue plan. And what he did, he gave us a vial each of us could individually drink called his blood. That we drank the blood of Calvary, our sickness is forevermore cured. We no longer remain in the sickness we were born with. All of us were born with the sickness and disease of sin. But when we drink the blood of Christ, it cures us and we are forevermore free from that bondage of sin. So don't say God's not fair. God made a way that we could have life everlasting and have it more abundantly. He cured our sickness because he was the light. Follow me. It's really, you know, mankind rejects that. I don't know why they reject just a great love. Why would we reject anybody that loved us so much that no matter what we did, he loved us? No matter how many times we said no, he loves us. No matter how many times we reject, he loves. No matter what sins we do, he loves us. And it's that love that draws us to him. God, you mean I can't run you off? Mm-mm. You mean I can't let you down? Nope. You mean you still see me beautiful? Sure do. How's that possible? Because I am love. The definition of God is love. And when he is love, he can be nothing else but love. And it's that love that is truly the light that pulls us. So many people do not come to the Lord because of religious, uneducated, to quote one radio commentator, and I won't call a name, low information person. Christians that want to judge and cast stones and say, do this, do that, do this, do that, do this, do that, or else. instead of just showing them the love of Christ and letting the Holy Spirit do the work. Church, we weren't made to fix and repair. The Holy Spirit is the one that heals and delivers and sets free. It don't need our help. We just show them Jesus and let Him show off. Glory to God. Can y'all get excited this morning? I know it's Sunday morning. I tell you, y'all that don't get into it need to come back on a Sunday night so they can teach you how to get into it. Because this is good preaching. Thank you, brother. We have a light that shines to show all mankind which way to go. We choose to follow that light or we choose to reject that light, but we live with the consequence of it. We live with the consequence of it. God's not going to do any more than what's already been done at Calvary. It's done. It's finished. No other work's going to happen to supersede it. No other revelation is going to come. The light has been shined. He created all creation to point us to that light, to show us I am the way. Just follow me. Just trust me. Just surrender to me, and I'll do the rest. And I talk to a lot of people who get cast out and rejected by Christians not pointing them to the light. See, He's the light, church. I'm not the light. I'm a reflection, hopefully, of that light, but I'm not the light. There's a difference. Just like in my home, I can be standing in my kitchen and at nighttime, and you'll see me if the light is on. I'm not the light bulb, but you're seeing the reflection of that light on me. I'm appearing in the presence of that light, but I'm not the light where the power is coming out of. The light is Jesus. He's the one that brings the hope and the joy and the healing that we need for our lives if we'll just trust Him. And we'll just point, church, we've got to get out of the way. I mean, I'm telling you, we've got to get out of the way. I call it hate mail. Hate mail today in the mailbox from, it don't even have the organization name, it just said something. And if you know who this is and offends you, I'm sorry, it offended me, so I'm going to offend you. It said, all I had on it was something, King James Church, King James something, no name, and it had all this hate stuff about, just about really hating, just about the strict regulation of the gospel, the strict regulation, and it's almost like a hate thing, and I felt convicted even touching. I threw it away. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is what draws people into Christ? No, it's not. You don't go tell someone, yeah, Christ loves you, but brother, you better do this. And brother, you better do that. Because if you don't, God's going to get you. And we do that. And you know what? I will say this. I said this Wednesday night. I'll say it again. Before I say that part, I want to say this. We need to learn as Christians that if we are in Christ, all of us that are in Christ Jesus are on the same team. Understand that. We're on the same team. We have different beliefs and this and that, but we're on the same team. And one thing I am very proud of, and we talked about this Wednesday night, is, you know, the world has elected a new pope for the Catholic Church. And although I don't believe in a lot of the Catholic teaching, I'm very proud of what I saw this particular pope demonstrate. When he first came out on the little porch in the Vatican City, he told the people before he said his first blessing over the people that he wanted to be prayed for himself. And he bowed over the balcony and had the people take a moment of silence to pray for him. One thing he quoted I saw in the paper this week, he quoted that he wants to return to where people are seeing Christ. They're seeing Christ. And trying to restore the message of Christ. A lot of things I don't believe in, understand that. But isn't that what we all should be doing, is pointing people to Christ? Just point them to Jesus and let Him do the work. We need to quit being, I think, so bitter against each other and so hateful. I mean, there's people that will not. They would never dart this church door because there's not a sign that says Baptist on it. Or Methodist, or Pentecostal, or Presbyterian. They just don't come. They won't dart the doors because there's no name on it. There's some Baptists think the Methodists are dry as dust. Some Methodists think the Baptists are too strict. Some Baptists think the Pentecostals are too crazy. I like being crazy, and I'm proud of it. But there's so much anger and hurt instead of just pointing people to the light. Pentecostal denomination is not the light. The Baptists are not the light. Jesus Christ is the light, church.
He's the light. And when people see a resurrected Savior and an empty tomb and the grace of the blood of Jesus, they will run to the altar. This is what I want, the power of Jesus in my life. That's what I need, and that's what I crave. And if we'll get out of the way and quit trying to sign them up for membership while they're giving their heart to Jesus, are you kidding me? You don't think that don't happen? Oh, yeah. Are you a member here? I'll pray for you. Let's fill his card out first, and I'll pray for you. Are you kidding? Just pray for him. My God, who cares? I promise you this. I will pray for anybody that walks up saying, Pastor, pray for me. I don't care if they're Presbyterian or they're Baptist, if they're Catholic. I don't, praise God, send a Jehovah Witness. Let the Holy Ghost get a hold of them. Hallelujah. Pray for anybody. Don't matter. He's the light. And if we'll just point to him, they'll see him as who he is. And we don't have to even explain. Just say, trust the Lord. I told a guy, I went to see a man in jail a few weeks ago. And he was a non-believer, so I really don't believe. Young man in his 20s. And all I said was this. I said, I'm not going to try to sway you because, you know, God's got to reveal himself to you. But I said, I promise you this. Just call up on the Lord, because he believes, I believe in something. I just don't really know what I believe in. I said, just call up on the Lord. Say, God, I don't know who you are. Don't know what you're about. Don't even know what I believe. But if you're real, God, show me the truth. Reveal to me who you are. That's why I told him, just pray that. That's all you got to do. A few weeks later, he actually came visit here. He was here a few weeks ago on Sunday morning. You know what he told me? He said, I found the Lord. I found the Lord. Now, I could have snorted through the phone and done my Pentecostal dance and talked my tongues. I was blue in the face, and he would have left. I'd be speaking tongues and shouting too if I was on that side of the wall. All I did was say, seek the Lord. Ask who he is. He'll speak to you. Just point them to the light. And let God do the rest. I'm telling you, God can wake a person up in the middle of their sleep and move on them in a supernatural way. God can move on somebody in their car driving, or in a moment the Holy Spirit just touches and connects in them something that's so real they've never experienced before. If we'll just get out of the way and point people to the light. That's what a lighthouse does to ships. All a ship that's lost cares about is finding the light. It don't care what lighthouse it is. It don't care what part of the country it's in. It don't care which beach it is. Well, I didn't want to land on this beach. It don't care. That ship is lost, it's desperate, and it's in need of rescue. I just need to see a light somewhere flashing. I don't care which direction it is. God, just show me a light. And when that light flashes across the sea, the ship captain points it and says, follow that light. It don't matter where I end up, but I know I'll be safe because that's where the light is at. That's the light. He is the light. I love his next verse. You're going to love his too. Of course, if you hadn't loved it up so far, you might not love it, but hopefully you will. Verse 5, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Now, the Lord gave revelation on this a few years ago. I've taught it before, what this word comprehend means. Because I used to always just think, reading it, you would think, okay, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness didn't understand it. Can we think of that word comprehend meaning I don't understand something? It's not what it means here. You look up comprehend, the Greek, it means to seize, possess, overtake. Now let's read it. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not seize it, possess it, or overtake it. It couldn't have, isn't that great news? In other words, the darkness that was there, once light touches it, is destroyed and gone and done away with. And all the darkness of the world can't suffice and can't overcome the light of God's glory. And that revelation, it's truth and it sets you free. The light's stronger than darkness. And it always is. Amen. All you need is a tiny bit of light to illuminate a room. In your bedroom at night with all your lights out. Now, here's me now. I've told you this before. Just a personal note. I don't know why, but in the daytime, I want it bright. I mean, I don't like a dark room in the daytime. Unless maybe I was having a romantic night with a movie on the couch or something, you know. I might turn the lights down a little bit, get a little bit of grape juice, you know, in our wine glasses and, you know, sip a little bit and put my little arm around her and, you know, the lights are dim and the music is low and, you know, she's my lady, you know. Other than that, I want a bright room. But at nighttime, church, I want it dark as coal. I want it dark. We have drapes we pull across our. I want it dark. I can't sleep in a room that's got light in it at night. I want it dark. But you know what? In that dark bedroom at night, if the hall light's on, that little crack under the door, you see the light, don't you? That little bit of light expels darkness. The light of Jesus expels darkness. Now, what is darkness I'm talking about? Spiritual darkness. I'm talking about those that are spiritually blind, that haven't seen the truth of the gospel, that just haven't received it, haven't accepted it, think there's a different way. And what's so sad, if you're 25 years or younger in here especially, that's probably a good age cutoff, 25 or under, maybe 30 or under, you're learning a whole different system of man's ways that we never learned, as far as a whole new liberal type of teaching. Politically, spiritually, in colleges, in Christian colleges, liberal, so liberal. And our kids are raised with that. Internet now, everything's liberal. Everything's liberal. And they're indoctrinated with that liberal thinking and that liberal way. And they're being blinded by that, not knowing what the truth. But man, when the gospel comes, when the light shines and truth is revealed, you come out of that state of being so bound by liberal thinking that you see truth as it is, as God says that it is. And I feel sorry for our young people that are experiencing this right now, just with one-sided teaching completely. Just not even a balance anymore, just one-sided teaching. Not even a choice anymore. It's like I tell parents. Parents tell me this, well, I let my kids, you know, have a choice whether they come to church or not. Well, you're not giving them a choice. Because if you never make them come to church when they're little, you never make them come, then when they're older, there is no choice to make. They never came, so they'll never go. But when you bring them, then they get out of the church. They've had a choice. I was raised in church. I got a choice. Do I return back to my roots, or do I just stay out where I'm at? There's no choice anymore in our lot of our teaching. It's one-sided completely. And we're having to, as a parents, go back and try to teach our kids at home our values and our morals and our teaching and hope that it somehow gets in. But it's a different generation we're in for our young people, and it's a sad generation. I feel sorry for them. There's no balance of teaching anymore. There's no truth hardly at all being taught, especially in the education system, when it comes to political things or nation things. It just is so one-sided, and it's sad. Spiritually speaking, same way. You know how many things on the internet now about different beliefs, different teachings, different gospels, different things? How you know Jesus is really the only way? There's so many religions. You know, you got people like Oprah Winfrey, and you got other people of pronoun that are standing up, and even some preachers and ministers are standing up and declaring there's other ways, other paths other than the cross. There's other paths besides Jesus. There's no other path, church, according to my Bible, according to this Holy Scripture, and people don't like it. Now, going back to the Catholic Church, one thing I will give them kudos for is this. Their stance on moral values, and they're strong on that, and they voice that. And that's one thing you got to give them. A lot of us Christians in America ain't like that. We crumble, and we cave. Well, yeah, I guess all right. Ain't like it used to be. Old pops, you old-fashioned, man. You know, it's okay, man. It's okay we lived together before we married. It's okay I date a boy and I'm a boy. Don't worry about it, Dad. Hey, man, you're so behind. We all are equal in the eyes of God, dude. Man. Come on, you're not with it, man. Are you kidding me? You know, and the issues they stand on abortion and the marriage, those are things they're pretty strong on. So this is what we believe. And what if we had the same stance, not in an angry way and not in a hateful way, just in a non-movable way? Not going to chain me on this. I love you, brother. You know, my daughters know how I feel, and my son. Christian comes home or calls me up. Dad, me and old John moving in together. You know how I feel about it, daughter. I love you, but you're wrong. And you're laying the wrong foundation. It's going to cause a lot of problems because you not put it in God's hands first. They know. Am I going to excommunicate her? Of course not. We'll still love her, still have fellowship with her. We'll still be there for her. Still going to go to her house. I'll shake John's hands and give him a dirty look at the same time. But you know what? my daughters know. And they got to make that choice. So all I do is show them the light. Darkness cannot possess where light has shined. Verse 10, he was in the world. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. I love this. That all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Same as we are. We're not the light. We're to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every man. This is what I was saying a while ago. We're all born in the same world. We all go to the same beaches and the same mountains. We see the same sun, the same stars, and the same moon. We're all born with this light shining, pointing us to something bigger than us. And I cannot believe we're in such a generation where we think that we control that somehow. Or that science somehow just, nature just sporadically formed all that we see. And just it just happened to be that way. I mean, church, think about this. I mean, if I had a bunch of dominoes in my hands and I just tossed them out there, it's not going to form anything but a mess. It has to have a designer. It has to have a plan. It has to have some skill applied to it to make anything. God was the master designer of all that we see. The master planner of all that we hold. And he is the light that lighteth to every man that's born in the world. They recognize, even in countries, people ask me this all the time, people of other countries that were raised, you know, Muslim or raised Hindu, and they've not heard the gospel, they're still the same sun that rises here rises in Iraq. The same moon that sets, the same moon that sets over there. They have oceans all over the world and mountains all over the world, volcanoes and animals and all kinds of creation. We all experience the same gifts from God all over the world as far as nature and creation. We experience it. And you know what? It's going to make people realize there's got to be more than a dead prophet that created this. You know, we prayed for Pastor Sahim a few weeks ago, if you remember. He's still locked up in Iraq. He is a Christian pastor from Idaho who converted from Islam to Christianity. He's got an 8-year sentence in a very bad prison in Iran, I believe it is. He's got a very bad prison, 8-year sentence, and they're signing petitions. I actually signed a petition this week for him. Signing a petition, people going to Washington trying to fight for his release, all because he won't revert his stance on Jesus. They have told him, if you revert your stance on Christ, we'll let you go. He's got a wife and 2 small children back here in the States waiting on him. Kids haven't seen him in almost a year now, wondering where daddy's at. Had an interview with mama. She says the kids are saying to daddy not love us till he leave us because they're so little. What's going on? Why does he not want to be home with us anymore? They don't understand what's really happening. He's locked up all for the name of Christ. What converted him, I wonder, from Muslim to Christian? Something must have. The Word of God, the Son, somebody speaking to him. Something spoke to his heart. See, here's the difference in Christianity versus any other religion. Our God is alive. And we can feel him. We can feel him way down. It's the old song, I feel him way down in my soul. We can feel our God. Our God expresses himself through us. Do you realize that? He expresses himself through us. He expresses his glory through us, his joy through us, his peace through us, his power through us, his anointing through us. We are an expression of God's power in the earth, and it fills us. That's why sometimes we just dance. That's why sometimes we just raise our hand. Sometimes we just say amen. Sometimes we just feel the glory of God in such a way that we just melt in his presence and cry, knowing why we're crying. Because we have a living God that overshadows our lives, that fills us with all of who he is. And all of creation has to see something created this. It's too exact. It's too perfect. I mean, we're the third planet from the sun, the only one that sustains life. A little closer, too hot. A little further, too cold. We are the perfect position for life. perfect atmosphere of nitrogen and oxygen mix for life. The earth has stood since God told it to stand. It rotates and turns at a multi-speed, I don't know the miles an hour, but we're spinning at a high rate, but we don't ever feel it, do we? Not unless you got Virgo. You don't feel it. And the earth is turning. The seas are flowing. The mountain still stands, just where God told it to. Those great Appalachians, I don't know how long the Appalachian Mountains have been in place, but they've been in place longer than me. Longer than y'all, probably. They've been there, and they'll be there until God says anything different, because God spoke it. He is the light. He came into his own. Oh, I don't have any more verses, do I? That's it on that one. Yeah, go to the next verse. This is 1 John 5:11. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The life for eternity is found through Jesus. That's how we live forever. Like what Melanie said earlier, that we go on and on too. I love that. We go on and on, don't we? On and on. Indefinitely, we go on and on with no end. See, we want to measure time. My kids ask me sometimes, Dad, are we going, you know, heaven's forever. What are we going to be doing forever? I'm going to get bored. I mean, what are we going to be doing forever? We can't equate time here like we can time in the kingdom of God. It's a whole different place, church. It's a whole different realm. It's not even going to make sense. The time here versus time in the kingdom. We can't understand it. You know, there's a lot of things that we just don't know. But I know that we are eternal beings in Christ, and that we go on and on and on forevermore, because his love went on for us. Now we go on in him. And there'll be no end to our life ever. We don't ever face death as a Christian. We just go on. We don't lay in the ground, church. We go on. We don't stop living. We go on. We go on forever and ever because of Jesus and the blood shed. We have eternal life in him. Next verse, verse 12. He who has the Son has life. Here's the gospel here. Very simple revelation. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. You can't get more clear than that. You have the Son of God, you're alive. You reject him, you're dead. Period. That's the gospel. So many reject it. Why? I'll tell you why. They don't truly want light exposing their darkness. Because there's a lot of things that live there they don't want out. You know what else darkness does? Darkness keeps us from seeing things the way they really are, and we're okay with that sometimes. Kind of like when you look in the mirror, just for an example. Nobody get offended. People get offended at me for this. Don't get offended. Just an example. People look in the mirror. I'm not that big. We'll turn the lights on. Oh, yeah. How different we look in a bright light versus a shadowed room, don't we? Oh, my gosh. I look 10 years younger and the lights are off. I got more hair in the dark room. Did y'all know that? And I look a lot hotter when it's dark than when it's light. I can be doing this in the mirror. And the light comes on, I'm like, good gracious, really? We look different in the dark. And we don't want light exposing, because you know what? Light makes us accountable for what's in there. And we don't like accountability. Just like in our world today with our kids. Every kid gets a trophy. Every kid's a winner. Really? Can't hurt their feelings. Teacher fussed at them. Well, good. They needed to. But I didn't. You did something. Yes, you did. They just don't like me. Well, I don't either, but I love you. I know you did something. We're in a system of rewarding everybody for everything, whether they do it or not. Just, you know. And that's transcended to the spiritual realm as well. There's no accountability spiritually. Said a prayer. Went to the altar. I'm under grace. I'm good. But nothing changes. That's not salvation. You know, I preached Wednesday night about that. Was it Wednesday night or last Sunday? About the Wednesday night. About the members. We're members of Christ. If you look up the word, in 1 Corinthians 6, it says we are the members of Christ. The word member means limb or part of. So if I'm a limb of Christ, I'm a part of, if I'm a limb, we know what limbs of trees are. A limb of a tree can only produce what the seed of the tree is. So if I'm a part of Christ, if I'm a limb of Christ, I should be reflecting those things of Christ. Anything different, I'm not being true to the seed that I say is in me. Now, I'm not saying we don't fail. Of course we fail. I produce a lot of rotten fruit. But thank God I'm still a part of the tree. I just had a rotten fruit because of me. Not because of God, because of me. So I move forward, produce better fruit. We are a part of Christ. We should be reflecting that. Point people to the light and they'll see him as he is. Let's get out of the way, church, and let God be the way. That's what he is. And they will find their way. We don't have to preach and preach and preach and preach and preach to them because they're not going to hear you until God opens that up. But they can't outrun love. And that's what Jesus is. He is love. And he is the light shining away. One more verse. This is it. We'll close with this. Ephesians 5:8. You were once in darkness. This is the kind of a, this is some advice for us today as we leave here this morning. We were once in darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We should walk as children of light. I'm not in the dark no more. I should be going around, walking around like this. The light's been turned on. I know better. Here's the deal. Here's where we're really accountable, church. When we know something is truth and we don't walk in that truth, we are walking in a lie. It's different if you don't know it, church. It's different if you don't know it. I'm serious. But if you know it and yet you still refuse to walk in it, you are accountable for that. It's important we understand that. That we know truth and then we live by that truth and we walk in that truth. Because the light's been on. If I'm getting out of my bedroom and I walk in the dark and I trip over a pair of shoes, I couldn't see them. But if I wake up and I turn my lamp on and I get up and I still trip over those shoes, I'm just stupid. I mean, right? I'm just stupid. Can I see them, really? Two big 10 and a half sitting there? And I'm, really? Of course, in the morning, I'm kind of like E.T. shuffling my feet. I don't really have a good... I wake up like this, my eyes, and I'm kind of... I kind of do that until I get awake. That's what I'm saying. If you're still in darkness, you're not accountable. But when light comes, you are. And so if you know to do something and walk in a certain way and do, and you're not, but you know to, you're accountable. Walk in the light and let people see that light. Remember, you're not the light. We're a reflection of his light. There's a big difference. A lot of people think they're the light. I'll straighten them out. Boy, I'll get them. Get that youngin' in here. I'll cast them demons. I'll slap that oil on them. Praise God. We'll pray them through until the rapture comes. Nothing wrong with praying people. Nothing wrong with slapping on oil. Nothing wrong with, I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, get you out of the way. Just speak Jesus to them. I mean, my, that's, he's the light. Shine your light. You know, don't follow James. Follow Jesus. Just follow Jesus. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word of God. You are the light that lighteth our way. You're the one that brought us out of darkness, Lord, and I thank you for that. That darkness once had us, but your revelation knocked on my door. It knocked on many people's doors in here today. And they allowed you into their hearts, and everything's been different since. For the hearts in here today that do not have this light, they do not have you, they've not sold out, they've not truly put their faith and their trust in you, they're still hiding in the dark, scared to come out, scared to allow your light to shine in their lives. I pray that they will open themselves up to realize that you are a God of love and mercy and forgiveness and peace. That you are not here to put wrath upon our lives. You did not come to the world to condemn the world, but that through you we might be saved. Thank you for that, Father. That you are the remedy. You are the cure for our sickness and our disease. We were born in death, but we can be born again into everlasting life. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the word, and thank you for your grace that saves mankind as we give ourselves to you. Touch every heart. Let your anointing be here, and your spirit convict those that are in darkness, that they will see you and only you as you truly are, and they will call upon your name as their Lord and their Savior. We give you praise and honor and glory for your word today. and give you thanks for it in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you for being here this morning. Appreciate that.